Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
11 minutes after 4, Jordana Green, Paul Douglas, Susan Blanche at the helm. Thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon. Paul is raving about his meal last night, and he never does that.
Well, my wife is a good cook, mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't complain about anything. But last night was extra special. Lori didn't cook.
Sorry, God, Lori, I love listening. You.
She's going to kick me in the Doppler here if this gets back to her. Here's the deal, Jordana. Ariana Fagan is co-founder and head chef of Ariana's Kitchen. On her business card, yes, she has business cards, it says food, family, and philanthropy. Ariana just turned 15, and she's already raised nearly $500,000 for Twin Cities charities by doing what she loves, and that's cooking. Last year, she was a contestant on Fox TV's MasterChef Junior with Gordon Ramsay. 10,000 kids applied. Only a handful got as far as she did. She learned to cook at the age of 5. She expresses herself through her cooking. For Ariana, it's an art form. And her proud father, who is a master sommelier, pairs up her dishes with the appropriate wines. We met Ariana at the Pinky Swear Foundation, which raises money for kids and families facing childhood cancer. Get this. She's doing 40 charity events this year, Jor, and she fine-tunes her skills. Last night, she made a 6-course feast that was honestly one of the best meals I've ever had anytime, anywhere. She has a gift, and I found her to be not only talented with a knack for business, but humble, focused, and just delightful to be around. And she restored my faith in the future. Welcome to the show, Ariana.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
That may be the best introduction you ever get.
That was
anywhere.
High praise. My goodness, my goodness.
So
Ariana, tell us how you got started. I mean, cooking at the age of 5, sure, we all learned to cook at our mother's knee or our father's knee. But how did this become such a passion for you, and how did you get so good so quickly?
Well, I've been cooking ever since I was really young, and it was always something that I was really drawn to. And I think it was kind of the ability to have such a high level of creativity and artisticness. And it was just something that was so interesting to me early on. And as I got into it more, I started to just fall in love with it each day and continued to practice and got better. And I became obsessed with the different cooking shows, and my passion just grew from there.
So, Ariana, tell listeners how you've been able to marry philanthropy with your passion, which is cooking. I know you've raised, like $450,000. I don't know how you do it. I know you have another charity dinner this evening. People bid on the opportunity to have you prepare a 6-7-course meal, and it truly is a night to remember. But what got you into Pinky Swear and some of these other charities that you support?
Well, for me, it's always been really important to do my part to give back to the community, and especially after I got back from MasterChef, my biggest priority was how can I leverage my passion for cooking as a platform to help others, and that's when I had the idea to start my own company, and since then, I've been donating a lot of my private dining experiences, and that's how I've been able to raise so much money for charities, and it's really exciting for me because I never thought that I'd be able to do so much to help others through my cooking, and it's been really, really special.
So how did you get to MasterChef? Because a lot of kids, they love cooking. I mean, my kids are addicted to those cooking shows, too. We're not chefs like you, but so you start cooking, you know, in your parents' kitchen. And how did you end up on MasterChef? Did you start a YouTube channel? How does this happen?
So growing up, MasterChef Junior was one of my favorite shows growing up, and it was one of the things that really inspired me to take my cooking to the next level because I saw the kids cooking on this show, and I thought, wow, these kids are amazing. I hope one day I'll be able to cook as good as them. And then as I got older, I started to realize that the things I was seeing the kids doing on the show, I could do as well. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when I had my light bulb moment, and I saw an ad pop up one day when I was watching YouTube videos that was showing auditions for MasterChef Junior, and they didn't even have them here in Minnesota, so I would have to fly out, and I begged my parents to let me try out for the show. And at first, they were really skeptical when they saw that over 10,000 kids try out for the show each year. Mm-hmm. But they knew how passionate I was about it, so they let me try out. And it's a really long process to get on the show. It takes about a year, and I actually tried out 3 years in a row before I made it on to MasterChef, and each year I made it further. And I'm so happy that I persevered for 3 years, because it was such an incredible experience.
What do you love to cook? What are some of your favorite things? What's your specialties?
Oh, I love to cook almost everything. And that question is so hard for me, because there's so many things I like to cook. And it's changing constantly as well. But one thing I'm really passionate about is called molecular gastronomy, where it's like the incorporation of science into cooking. And so you get to use really fun chemicals and just get to combine things to create really cool dishes. But also, my parents are from Eastern Europe, and so I've gotten to learn a lot from my family as well, and they've taught me different techniques. So I love to incorporate that into my cooking as well. But for me, cooking is really like a way to explore other cultures. And so I've been able to channel a lot of that and learn about different cultures through my cooking and cook foods from different parts of the world. And that's been especially fun for me.
Ariana, so much of life is trial and error and error and error, and you figure it out over time. And that certainly applies to cooking. You mentioned that Gavin Kazin of Bellacor and Spoon and Stable, as well as Randy Stanley's staff at Six Smith in Wayzata, have influenced you. They are mentors. Can you learn how to cook watching YouTube, or do you need to get out there and get your hands dirty and make mistakes?
Oh, well, for me, it was kind of a combination of everything. And I think when you're really passionate about something, and for me, that passion was cooking. And so with the way some kids would want to practice a sport or learn a dance, and for me, my passion was always cooking. And so the way that many kids practice sports, I was practicing cooking at all hours of the day. And I think that that's how I really grew, is just that trial and error and that practice and constantly learning and making mistakes is what really drove me to take my cooking to a higher level in that way.
How did you want to turn this into a business? I understand the philanthropy, you know, you go and you cook for people. Does your business have another angle, like a profit-making angle?
Yeah, well, the initial idea about starting a business was, I thought, you know, what if I take my business, and I had been doing a lot to for philanthropy before I even started my business and been raising money for the organization Pinky Swear, but afterwards, I thought, if I can create a business and make money, and that way I'd be able to do even more to help others. And so that was the idea, to actually turn it into a company. And it's been really fun to learn a lot as well through the process of starting a business. I feel like at this age that I'm only 15, I've still been able to learn so much about what it's like to run a business and what it's like to communicate with other people. And I think that it's given me a lot of skills that I'm going to be able to apply in the future years and as an adult as well.
Ariana, growing up, a couple of my mentors said, look, if you love something, chances are you're going to be good at it. If you're good at it, you'll find a way to seize opportunities and hopefully make a living. And you are on your way to becoming an amazing chef. Where can people learn more about you? And also, if they are interested from a charitable angle of having you cook and support their charities, how can they reach you?
So people can find me on almost any social media platform. My Instagram and Facebook handle is just at Ariana Fagan. And then I'm launching a website at the end of this summer, which will be arianafagan.com. And actually, at the end of the summer, I'm also working on launching my own line of aprons. I've partnered with a company that has created these aprons with me, and we're going to be donating a percentage of profits from these aprons as well to support charitable causes, because that's really important to me, too. And so that's another venture that we've been working on, and that will also be on my website.
Well, Ariana, we wish you the best of luck, and thank you again. It's Fagan, F-E-Y-G-I-N. Ariana, good luck, and please keep us posted on your successes, okay?
Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Incredible young
you
woman.
You bet.
Wow, I'm so impressed. Incredible young woman. Just a,
you know, and Lori said something after the meal, and she goes, you know, Ariana inspired me to really get back into it and to make more of an effort and to go on YouTube and to push myself. So, and she just turned 15.
Yeah, amazing.
I mean, to be that focused and meticulous, I was just really impressed. And again, there are a lot of young people that share that focus and passion. And so I'm encouraged. Anyway, some interesting news on the weather side, some perspective regarding last month and a peek ahead at State Fair weather when we come back next.
24 minutes after 4 o'clock, Jordana and Paul here getting you through this Friday. I hope you are on your way to the cabin. I hope you're close. I hope you're on your deck. I don't know. I hope you're doing something except working. Paul's working, but close to the deck.
Yeah, this is still work, but I'm gazing out at the lake, and my blood pressure has dropped 20 points really since I got up here. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's great to fish, great to be on the water, in the water, but just looking at the water, it's amazing how that can have such a calming effect on all of us. Anyway, looking forward to the State Fair, which kicks off next Thursday, and it looks like it's going to start, at least, on a very comfortable note. Upper 70s, low humidity. It'll feel more like September. There will be few complaints, people hopefully not giving me a hard time about the weather next Thursday and Friday. Beyond that, the crystal ball gets murky.
Really?
Well, some of the long-range guidance I'm seeing suggests a cooler-than-average Labor Day weekend. It's been so wet. I mean, we're 5 to 15 inches wetter than average since June 1st, and all the wet weather means that it's not getting as warm as it would otherwise. Mm-hmm. The clouds, the showers, the storms are keeping us cooler. I saw something that made me do a triple take. Every other day I see something that makes me do a double take. According to NOAA, a weather station in Sweden north of the Arctic Circle hit a stunning 94.6 degrees last month, north of the Arctic Circle. That was
wow.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty hot for the Arctic Circle.
Yeah. I mean, ice up there and 94 degrees. Anyway, last month, you may have heard this, the hottest month measured on Earth since records began in 1880. According to NOAA, 9 of the 10 hottest Julys have occurred since 2005. The last 5 years ranking as the 5 hottest on record worldwide. By the way, if anybody asks, last month was the 43rd consecutive July and the 415th consecutive month with temperatures warmer than the 20th century averages. 66 all-time record highs, no record lows in the United States last month. June, by the way, also the hottest month ever recorded worldwide. It was, yeah. So detecting a trend, and average Arctic sea ice set a new record low for July, running almost 20% below average. Also, Antarctic sea ice coverage, 4.3% below the 1981-2010 average.
So what does this all mean? We're all going to fall into the ocean soon?
No, it's just more signs, more data points that it's warming up. Mark Seely, a friend of mine who many of us know, meteorologist and also engaged as a climatologist, has amazing perspective. He said in his most recent post for the University of Minnesota Weather Talk, which you should subscribe to every week, he sends out an update. He said the winter season has obviously warmed much more than the annual temperature in Minnesota. And certainly the northern counties have warmed more dramatically than southern counties in Minnesota. Much of this has to do with the presence or absence of winter snow cover, which has become more intermittent in recent decades than it was ages ago. Twin Cities, the annual temperature is about 5 degrees warmer now than it was 100 years ago. The winter temperatures are 6 degrees warmer.
So should we buy Greenland and then go live there and then it'll be cooler?
Well, at some point, yeah.
Right?
The melting that's taking place on Greenland is pretty staggering. So I think, you know, people that are considering buying coastal property
in Greenland
or anywhere,
it's an island.
Florida, Texas, Louisiana, California. No.
Bad real estate.
I think you're asking for a world of hurt. Already the coastal flooding is increasing, and at some point, you know, South Florida, Miami specifically, is going to be a basket case. It's going to be Atlantis. You know, how do we move neighborhoods? We have to have some solutions for that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's going to be a free-for-all. So we'll see. You can't negotiate with the atmosphere. We have to find ways to keep the wheels on the bus, the economy going strong, and just emit less carbon, less methane into the atmosphere. So anyway.
So, pumpkin spice spam is a thing.
That is a thing.
Pumpkin spice reminds us of fall. You said things are, you know, it's going to be cool soon. So pumpkin spice spam is a thing. Find out what else we found when we go beyond the headlines next. Pumpkin spice is here. It's back. It's not even fall yet, but this might be a little troubling. Pumpkin spice spam. It's a thing. It's being introduced to the general public on September 23rd. Will be available on spam.com and walmart.com. That doesn't surprise me. But some people got an advance copy to try and check it out for the advance copy, I guess an advance taste to check it out for themselves. Now, do you think that sounds delicious, Paul, pumpkin spice spam?
You know, as a Boy Scout, we believe that spam was a delicacy.
By the end of two weeks of camping in the woods,
we treated ourselves
to the spam.
We grilled it up. But I just like the regular spam. Don't mess with the regular spam.
Well, the tester says, look, it looks like normal spam. But after taking it out of the can, you can smell that familiar pumpkin spice scent. And then when you fry it up, you Boy Scouts, it does intensify on the stovetop. So the sweetness can be a bit off-putting because you're expecting it to kind of smell like processed ham. But then they say, once we tasted it, they said, quote, the flavor wasn't really bad. So I guess that's maybe high marks for the pumpkin spice spam. Someone said it reminds me of a breakfast sausage. Honestly, it would go great with some eggs and waffles. Another said it wasn't as bad as I expected. See, I think that's high praise for the pumpkin
spice. That's high praise.
Well, there you go, friends. Pumpkin spice spam.
Sounds like a review of our show.
It's not as bad as I thought.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Hey, you know the emergency alert system, those crazy tones you get on your TV and on your cell phone?
Oh, that's not just
when
the voices in my head?
Well, yeah, I can't help you there. We could spend an entire show talking about the voices in your head.
Amen, brother.
Listen to this. An episode of Jimmy Kimmel last year featured a sketch with these emergency tones mocking the presidential alert system.
Oh boy.
And it's going to cost ABC almost $400,000.
Oh my gosh.
That's a fine from the FCC that ABC has to pay for, quote, misusing the tone from the emergency alert system.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, again, this tone warns people about impending emergencies, tornadoes, floods, you know, problems at nuclear plants, you know, God forbid, an attack. To protect the purpose of the warning system, the agency has a rule against the use of EAS tones or their simulations, except in actual emergencies.
Wow.
So the comedian's late night show used the tone three times in the sketch, federal officials said. Just hours earlier, millions of cell phones nationwide had received one of these presidential alerts. This is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed, that alert said.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel's show was not the only culprit. I didn't realize this. The Walking Dead, you know that series?
Sure.
All the zombies?
Mm-hmm.
They were fined $104,000 for using a simulated emergency alert system tone in two scenes back in February. All the companies, Jor, have 30 days to pay the United States Treasury.
That's crazy.
Oops.
Won't do that again. Do you watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
It's on my queue. Okay. I have not started it yet.
I have. Well, I've good watched reviews. The first two seasons. It's on Amazon Prime, okay, or Amazon Video or whatever they call that now, whatever. So to promote the third season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Amazon launched Maisel Day yesterday. So nearly 30 businesses in Santa Monica in California put up pink drapery and dropped prices to 1950s levels. Get this. And there was quite a stir. 99-cent corned beef sandwiches, cupcakes for a quarter, burger, fries, and milkshake combo for a little over a dollar at one of the 30 businesses. Isn't that great? A happy customer getting her hair done tweeted, me walking out of my $2 dry bar appointment today because hashtag Maisel Day. She got her hair done for $2. An area Chevron was selling gas, forget this, 30 cents a gallon. Now, normally in California at that day, they would have been $3.60 a gallon. So we're feeling better about our gas here in Minnesota. But they were selling them for 30 cents. So the Chevron promotion got out of hand and caused traffic tie-ups. And Santa Monica police had to shut it down briefly because everybody was lined up for Mrs. Maisel Day. Isn't that great? I mean, I love Mrs. Maisel. I think she's fantastic. And, hey, I'm all on board with 30-cent gas. But it was almost a riot.
Jort, I have one question. Is she marvelous?
She is. Oh, my God. Do you watch Sue? She is so unbelievably
What makes
marvelous.
It so good?
She's hilarious. She's raunchy. Her timing, her comedic timing is amazing. And the story, you know, her husband goes and cheats on her and leaves her. Now she's raising her two kids. And she's just trying to work it all out. She's a real person, yet she's got this talent for comedy. And she's trying to become a comic, a female comic, in the 1950s. You know, she talks about her boobs and her period and her cheating husband. And that wasn't a thing back then. So it is so fun. You must start watching it.
So she was ahead of her time.
Without question. Yes, without question. And it's just great. And she's great. You just can't help but love her. So hashtag Maisel Day. Yeah, causing a stir. Good stuff.
All right. Robo shorts are coming, Jor.
Oh, God.
Robotic shorts
oh, no.
have been invented that assist in walking and running. Now, the whole setup includes a battery that straps around your waist and a motor on the lower back that connects to pull cables. It weighs just 5 kilograms, 11 pounds, and it detects the wearer's gait to appropriately adjust its output. These robo shorts reduce the energy cost of walking by 9% and running by 4%. So it's an exosuit, robo shorts.
So wait.
And it was.
I don't understand the goal. Like, don't you want to walk to burn calories? Does this help you conserve energy?
Well, think about people that may not be able to walk.
Oh, okay.
Or may not be able to walk far.
Okay.
Think about soldiers who might need some assistance.
Got it.
Right? Who are carrying 40, 60, 80-pound packs. So it's more proof of concept, but it was built to excel in a variety of environments, from the treadmill to the running track to hiking up a hill. The battery lasts
That's
for
cool.
about 6 miles of walking and jogging. Early adopters beware. The early version is selling for close to $30,000. But the prices will come down dramatically. But think about that. If your clothing could help you run faster, walk faster.
Pretty amazing.
The military is taking a very keen interest in this as a way to help soldiers out in the field. Not necessarily shorts. I'm sure they'll have a long pants version, too.
Okay.
But how cool is that?
That's very
cool. We
won't
have to do anything in a few years, right?
That's fantastic.
Our clothing, our tech will do everything for us.
We'll want to, because you want to get your 10,000 steps a day in, right? Well,
no, that's true.
They say 10,000 steps might be just a myth. That's right. A Harvard University study published in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association. I can see it at the cabin. I know you keep that on the shelves.
Yeah, love it.
Said, you know, basically said you need 10,000 steps a day. But now a newer study is questioning the appropriateness of the 10,000 step goal. Researchers concluded that among older women, as few as 4,400 steps per day helped lower mortality rates. With more steps, mortality rates decreased even more before leveling off at 7,500 steps. So you guys are going nuts, walking around your home at night, you know, walking up the stairs to get your Fitbit to 10,000 steps, but you might really only need 7,500 steps a day.
Jordan, This is why we're all insane.
This is life changing.
Because people say this is what you should be doing, and then when you start doing what you should be doing, then the goalposts keep shifting. Is red wine good for you now?
Yes.
Is whole milk good for you now?
I don't know about that. But you can't say bad things about red wine. I'm not going to stop drinking it anyway.
No, we can't.
No, you can't.
No, we can't.
So think about that. If you knew that it was only 7,500 steps a day and you're getting the same benefit, does that change your daily life? This could be life-changing for some people. The person who did, the researcher behind the original studies, she conceded that, she says she keeps track of her steps on her step tracker, but she says she can't really say how many steps are the right number for each walker. So you might be okay. Give yourself a break if you only got to 8,000 today, because you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
Hey, if I'm wearing my robo shorts,
yeah.
I can do 20,000 in my robo shorts.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Before we go, can I sneak one more in? I know it's your turn, but I just want to let everybody know about this awesome contest we're having. Minnesota Twins on pace to make Major League Baseball history, to break the home run record for a single season. Now, to do that, they need 268 home runs. They're currently at 236. They have 41 games to play. So with all of this in mind, WCCO is giving fans a chance to predict the date that the record-setting home run is to be hit. Those who predict the date correctly will then be entered to win an autographed jersey, a bat, and a ball. Now, I posted this on our CCO Twitter. So at Jordana WCCO, you can get a link to the contest. I posted it on the Paul and Jordana Facebook page. So go there. You can get a link to the contest. Pick a date, any date, when you think we are going to get to 268. We're currently at 236. When are we going to get there? You pick that date, and then you're automatically entered to win an autographed jersey, a bat, and a ball. We do have the best contests. Mike Max's visit with us is brought to us, as always, by Giants Ridge Golf. Chad loves it up there. And Mikey, he's over at TV. Mikey, so exciting about these Coon Rapids Andover team.
Yeah.
That was a winner today in their Little League World Series opener.
Yeah, I didn't realize. They said it was like the second time since 2001, I believe they said in the broadcast, that the Midwest team, which is Minnesota and beyond, obviously the region, had won the first round. I thought, we got good baseball around here. How could that be? But I guess it was. And it was an impressive game, because this young Kuzdia, who is the hero in the Midwest regional game with a home run, pitched four great innings. It's about baseball, but it's not, you know. It's about these really cute kids and their parents, you know. And ESPN does a great job of capturing that.
I used to work in that market. I worked in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Did you cover that a little bit?
The Wilkes-Barre Scranton market. And Williamsport was part of our DMA.
Yeah.
So we would cover it when, you know, sports would go cover it. But Williamsport is nothing except for the Little League World Series. Like, it's just, it's fields, it's corn, it's central Pennsylvania.
Really?
The Little League World Series is, you know, it's huge claim to fame, big support, and probably its lifeline for, any kind of
economic
tourism
engine,
and
huh?
Economy, yeah. But it's a cute little town, yes, and certainly comes alive when it's the Little League World Series.
Yeah, so it's fun, and you know the fun research, and I think some of this has been done over the years, but like the last Coon Rapids team that made it there was whatever 8 years ago, 10. I'd love to track them down and see who ended up playing through varsity. Did anybody go on to college and play? What happens? You know, is this a huge jump start, or is it for many of these kids? Is this where it peaks out? I don't know the answer to that. But I think that'd be fun research.
Absolutely.
Hey, Maxie, question. The Twins are recalling Lewis Thorpe and sending Devin Smeltzer, fan favorite, down to Rochester. What's going on there?
Well, it means nothing except that Smeltzer pitched a lot last night. So they play this game within the game where you've got what they call options on certain players, meaning you can send them up and down as much as you want. So the game that you play is you're actually trying to have more arms in your bullpen than you have. So last night it worked perfect. Pineda went five innings. Smeltzer finishes it. You save your bullpen. Now Smeltzer's spent, so you couldn't use him over the next few days. So you send him down to Rochester, and you bring up Lewis Thorpe. Now you got another left-hander coming out of the bullpen, and it's this game within the game that you play strategically so that you keep more fortified arms in the bullpen. The Twins should be in really good shape in their bullpen. Trevor May pitched well the last time, is there. Dyson is there. Romo's available. Taylor Rogers is available. They should be in really good shape bullpen-wise. wise, but this gives him another arm, and it's kind of an interesting finagling of the system.
Mike will have more on the Vikings game with his update later in the show, but this Twins report was brought to you by Giants Ridge Golf. Thanks, Mikey, and we will be back with our trending stories next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.